your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep. We sing, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, come. We sing, come Lord Jesus.
Come.
your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, sing it to Him, church. We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, fill this place with your love.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Oh, bless you, Lord, we sing.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Oh, come down. Holy Spirit, now come,
Lord Jesus, come.
We worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, God, praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, God, bless you, God. Bless you, God, bless you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So good to be in His presence this morning, isn't it? To worship Jesus and to just feel the saturation of the Holy Spirit. You know, to I think in life we're too busy. I think that we need to take some time in the service and just allow Holy Spirit to deal with us, and you know, we go through life, don't we? And life is sometimes rough and it's tough, and the things that we face in life, and we just need to let Holy Spirit just deal with us in these moments, and just to receive it and be blessed in Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I find this, I'll be preaching on again this morning about those who hunger and thirst. I find that, you know, when you're thirsty, there's a dryness beforehand, you know, that is in the mouth, and you need to get replenished in there with, they call it hydrating. You need to hydrate. And I believe that, you know, when we get dry in life, we need the Holy Spirit. He's a river of life. He fills us. He wants to pour into us in our life. So this is kind of a song that I like when it gets down to the chorus, because, you know, when you're dry and you're thirsty and you go through all these things in life, it's God who sends the rain. Amen? We can't make the rain. He's the rain. He's the living water. Send your rain,
cup refreshing until I thirst no more.
Amen.
Lord, I need your cleansing now. Send your rain. Send your rain. Please forgive my every sin. Send your rain. Send your rain. Oh, let it rain. Oh, let it rain to revive my soul. I need your rain. I need your streams of refreshing until I thirst no more.
How many know this land of Canada needs some rain? Needs lots of rain.
To this dry and weary land, send your rain, send your rain. Lord, we need your touch again, send your rain, send your rain. Oh, let it rain all across this nation. Let revival roll. We need your rain. We need your streams of refreshing for every thirsty soul. Let it rain. Let it pour from heaven. Oh, let it rain. Your streams of refreshing. I need your streams of refreshing.
Lord, I need it.
I need your streams of refreshing until I thirst no more.
Hallelujah. 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 Till I thirst no more. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise you, God, till I thirst no more.
Oh, let it rain, let it fall from heaven. Oh, let it rain, to revive my soul. I need your rain, I need your strength. Refreshing until I thirst no more.
Praise you, Jesus. God, grant that this morning, Lord, as we just wait upon you, Lord. We get so dry and parched in our life spiritually, and we need your rain. That's all we can say, Lord. We get so hungry for the things around us, Lord. But God, forgive us when we hunger for the things of this world, because they never satisfy. Only you can satisfy, Lord. When you pour that rain, when you bring down the living water, Lord, when you bring that streams of living water to our life, we find that we thirst no more. Hallelujah.
I need your streams of refreshing until I thirst no more.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Not with you, but I find I need that so much more in my life, especially as you get older. Amen. How many know that? You need the streams of life in our very existence. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to church. Go ahead, Amanda, put up my first slide. We welcome each and every one of you today to church. Welcome any visitors and anybody that we want you to feel right at home here today. But we want to feel you a little bit uneasy because Holy Spirit is here, and when He makes us feel uneasy, things change. Isn't that right? When we get, oh, I didn't know I was going to say that and didn't know I was going to feel that, that's a little uneasy, and that's okay. We welcome that. We love to be able to feel uneasy at times in the Holy Spirit because that's when we grow, that's when we learn things, when we feel a little uneasy. How many feel too comfortable that when you're too comfortable that everything is kind of, well, don't rock my boat, you know, but Holy Spirit wants to rock our boat, amen? So allow Him to do that today. Kids can head off to Sunday school. I brought out another one of my little things that we put on the clothesline a couple of weeks ago. And I just thought I would bring out one item at a time, refresh our memories, and bring back to our thinking that we need to seek conversions. Amen. This says it just like it is. Salvations, new converts. Salvations and new converts. We need to be a church that's praying for salvations and new converts. Amen. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for that. But I was texting with Andrea this morning, and she's a little stressed out. She said so. Like, you know, when you start texting with somebody, you get back the one-word answers or two words. But then she used to always say to us over at Citadel, she would say, "How's your heart?" And so I sent that back to her, and then Andrea started talking a little bit more and finding out she's stressed and going through some things. And I know exactly the feeling when I went to Bible college. You know, it's like all these mountains all around you. And I just gave her some advice. I said, "Andrea, take one mountain at a time. That's all you need to do. Just take one mountain at a time." So I'd like to pray for Andrea this morning. I'd like to pray for Pierre and Loretta. They're not here, and they are always here. And so something must be going on with their lives. I'd like to pray for them. And I don't know if you need prayer this morning, but while I pray, why don't you just put up the antenna and say, "God, there's something I need. Something's going on in my life." I know, Brandy, you're praying. We're praying for Brandy and her need right now. So I'm going to pray, okay? And you just give God the need right now. Would you do that? Would you like to stand with me as we do that? Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know when He's here that anything can happen, Lord, because with You, all things are possible. We sang that this morning. All things are possible. So we believe that, Lord. So that's why we pray. That's why we come to You, Lord, because we've got needs. We've got things that are happening in our life. I want to remember, Lord, this morning, a young lady by the name of Andrea. She's at Bible college right now. It's just gone through her first week. She's stressed out in so many ways, but God, not stressed out in a bad way, but stressed out in a good way because she knows there's things ahead of her. So I pray for her, Lord. Just envelop her, Lord. Let her see the daylight in all the midst of all these things. Let her just feel the rejoicing in Jesus and work out every situation that is before her right now. Work it out in the name of Jesus. And I pray for Al and Stephanie right now. They've got a battle going on as well. Just I pray over this whole family, Lord. Just bless them, bless them, bless them. I pray over Brandy right now, Lord God. Just bless her. Bless Eric, Lord God. We're praying for a need there, so we're just asking, Holy Spirit, that You would intervene. I pray for Peter and Loretta this morning, Lord, that You would bless them, touch them, minister to them. Don't know what's going on. They're always here. They're very faithful to the house of God. Something must be going on, so we lift them to You right now. Intervene, intervene, Holy Spirit. And every other need that's represented in the house today, every need that's represented in this house, Lord God, every burden, every heartache, every cry, every plea, everything that's going on in every family situation, every person today, we give to You, Lord God, and we know that You are sending angels right now. You're dispatching all of heaven, Lord, to meet the needs. We thank You, Lord God, ahead of time, ahead of the answers, and we thank You, Jesus, for what You've done so far. We look back in our past, and we thank You, Lord, for every answer. We look today that here we are in the house of God, being able to worship You and praise You. What a blessing it is to lift up the name of Jesus in song and worship. And God, we are looking forward to the days ahead because we know that You hold every day that's in store for us. So we bless You today. As we go to Your word right now, Holy Spirit, take us. Take us in Your hands. And we thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. God is awesome. Threw you off, right? Hallelujah. Good to have everybody here. You know, I just want to thank those for the birthday wishes It's always nice. You try to keep your age secret. Yeah, you try to keep birthdays secret. You know, there must be some age where you try to keep away from those things when they start attacking you, and you get older older and wiser. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, older and wiser, and we enjoy birthdays because, hey, I'm getting wiser. That's not good. Yeah, so I just want to thank you all for their birthday wishes, cards, and blessings. And yesterday at the men's fellowship, they stood up and sang happy birthday to me, and we had a cake, and it was really nice. And then I got home, and Betty, she arm wrestled me to the floor and said, "We're going to Dairy Queen." You know, she just forced me. Like, you know, I had to lie on the floor. She was thumping on my back. "We're going to Dairy Queen." You know, and so I said, "Okay, honey, I give in." You know, so. Amen. Praise God. You're looking at me with this weird look on your face. Amen. Hallelujah. For all those who are born in September, happy birthday to all of you. It's a good month. Great minds think alike. Amen. Born alike. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm coming into this service today, and I'm just, you know, forgive us for all the announcements that we have, but it's a startup of all the programs, and we want to see these things going. We want to see every program in our church in the form of outreach, in the form of reaching people, touching people, discipling people, instructing people in the things of God, and that's why programs are in the church, is we need help. We come to the Word of God, and we sit in times, and we share our testimonies. We get around the Word of God. We ask questions. We learn from these things, and we learn from others in the church. That's why we're here, you know, and sometimes we think we're the only one going through these things, but others are going through them too. We used to, many years ago, take a survey when we were pastoring in Havelock, and when somebody would get an attack by the enemy, we would make it known. And we would write it down what we were attacked in, and we found out that the enemy, you know, he's just got so many devices to use against us. And we would find in the church that one person would have that, another person would have it. All of a sudden, we realized five or six people were under the same attack. And so we knew how to pray against those attacks of the enemy, and it was great because you learn from those things. That's what the church is all about. We're learning on how to grow spiritually, how to develop the muscle that we need to repel the enemy when he comes against us and lies to us and thwarts us. So I believe that, you know, that great sign over there, when we come to the house of God, expect. You need to expect when you come to the house of God. And there's another word that I was thinking of all week, and it's anticipation. What are you anticipating today in church? What are you, God, I need you to do this. What's your expectation and what's your anticipation? You know, anticipation can be good in a good way. It can be in a bad way. Every time I think of that word anticipation, I can remember words when I was a young boy that somebody would say to you, "You're in for it." Like that was bad words of anticipation. I never liked to hear those. Or my dad was an insurance salesman. He left the house at 9 o'clock in the morning, came home for lunch, went out at after lunch, came home for supper, went out after supper. That's the way an insurance salesman was. They're always on the road, always trying to get new clients and so forth. And so, you know, us kids, when we got home from school, we would probably do bad stuff. You know, that's what kids do. Not that they're bad, but they do stuff like that that gets them into trouble. And my words from my mother were always words of anticipation. Wait till your father gets home. You know, and those words of anticipation were not very good. But I pray that when you came to church today, that your words of anticipation are good and wholesome, and you're expecting something, and you're anticipating something to happen. Amen? Thank God. We're all in unity here in this church, and it's a great church to be involved in with an expectation level and an anticipation level flowing, and we're waiting upon God. You know, I think there's something else, and I was thinking and I was learning about this word just a little while ago, and it's only found once in the Bible, but it's the word inspiration. Inspire. It's an interesting word. The dictionary gives us that word to be inspired or inspiration. It's a divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify him or her to receive and communicate sacred revelation. To be inspired is to influence, move, or guide by divine or supernatural inspiration. Now, the reason why I bring that up, and I looked at that word inspiration, there's only one time that it's found in our New Testament. And if you were to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, inspiration in the Greek is theopneustos, usually means God breathed or better understood, breathed out into that very situation. So even today, I really believe that you and I, even though we expect and even though we anticipate, I believe that we need to get more inspiration in our life. How many know that when you get dry and thirsty, the inspiration level starts going down? You are no longer inspired to do things. You no longer feel the inspiration. Remember those moments where perhaps you were in a restaurant and you were inspired to go and talk to somebody else? You know, we get so involved in the world, we get so involved with the things of life that we lose that inspiration. We need to be inspired. How many times when we were young Christians, when you came into a service and you felt the moving of the Holy Spirit, you felt inspired to give a message in tongues, or you felt to give a message of interpretation, a prophecy, or you felt to stand up and say, you know, somebody in the church is going through something. Somebody needs a healing over here. Remember when you were inspired to do these things? And I don't know what's happened to us over the years, but I think that we've lost a little bit of our inspiration that we need to get back to in our lives and feel inspired to do things. After all, we're the body of Christ, and we're not going to bite your head off if you did something wrong here, but we need to learn how to be inspired. We need to learn how to move in the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to expect and anticipate and find the deep things of God. Amen? Peter spoke it this way. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I like that. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Do you feel inspired by the Holy Spirit this morning? I pray you do. I just pray that you didn't come to church for a good sleep. You know, some people say, I go to church because that's a good sleep. I hope you didn't get that. Amen. We come to church to be moved by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it great to be moved by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Move to do something. When we come to the Holy Spirit, moving in the Holy Spirit, using the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the operation of the spiritual in us and through us, there must be this inspiration to do it, to adequately move in that Holy Spirit. So we need to expect, we need to anticipate, and we need to be inspired. Amen? That's just something I wanted to toss out to you today, a little nugget if I could do that. Could you take that and receive that this morning? Amen. See, when you have this sudden feeling within your spirit that you just can't shake, that you just can't get away from, check it out, because maybe God is trying to move you to a place in your life. Amen. Next slide, please, Amanda. I like to get my thing fixed for moving the slides here. You know, it would be so great to be able to do that and let the people at the back. John, we got to work on that this week, okay? Amen. Praise God. So here we are. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. We're working on the Beatitudes, and it says it so beautifully. This is the fourth Beatitude, and if you look at it, it's kind of like a crescendo. It's kind of like it's building. It's coming, and they talk about in music form that there's a climax in the music, but you're getting into that louder realm. And I find as we go through the Beatitudes, there's this climbing that God is taking us somewhere. Jesus is teaching the crowds. He just didn't teach for the sake of teaching, Jesus. He was taking people somewhere. He was instructing them in something. He was showing them something. He was leading them to the place where they could be better, well equipped in the fight in this world that you and I live in. So there it is. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. You know, every time I get to scriptures, I think of songs. And songs are blessed to have in our vocabulary. I don't know if you're, you know, some people say, well, I just can't sing, you know, my voice. If I ever sang in church, I'd clear the church out, you know, and people think that. But, you know, you can sing to yourself. You can sing in the shower. You can sing in the car. You can sing anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're on tune or on key or whatever. You could just sing, and songs are good for us. And so as I was thinking this morning about hungry and thirsty, it brought my mind back to an old chorus we used to sing. Next slide, please, Amanda. As the deer panteth for the water, for so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Yes, I long to worship you. And the more you sing songs like that, you'll find that you're taken into a different place. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, I think of that chorus that we sing, as a deer pants. I had to go to the word pants in the Hebrew. It's areg, A-R-A-G. It's crying for. It's a panting. It's a longing for. It's a crying towards. It's getting to that place where you want more of something. And it's so beautiful to have that feeling in our spirit. You know, we need that feeling in our spirit more and more in our lives. Amen. Next slide, please, Amanda. See, as I preached on this beatitude last week, and for those who were here last week, you know that I preached on this message last week. But I couldn't leave it alone. Have you ever got to that place where you can't leave a verse of Scripture alone? You just got to go back and back. And I just felt that we couldn't leave it alone. I was looking for confirmations, and as I was coming down, I was telling John that in the car we had on our music, and I have 15,000 songs that I put on a jump drive. You know, I took all my CDs and put them on a jump drive, and I went down to a Radio Shack, or I guess it's now called, anyway, all those name changes. But I went there and said, look, I want a jump drive that I can put all my songs on there. And so Josh came down and put all my songs. It took, I think, about an hour to download all my music onto the jump drive. I didn't think it was going to go that slow, but got them all there. So I just put it in, and I play on random. Anybody do that? Random? You just, you know, this person sings this song, this person, another one. And anyway, I started up the car this morning, and I put on my music. And the song that came on was a beautiful song. Catherine Scott sings it. We've heard her at Kingdom Bound from Ireland. And it's Hungry. I thought, thank you, Jesus. You know, that was a good song to put on there. Hungry, I come to you. You know, that song. Beautiful. And then on the old Our Daily Bread on Friday, and that was really cool. When I got in there, it talked about how we come to buy without money, without price. Isaiah 55 was a scripture that it had. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So I thought, you know, God, I must be on the right track here, heading towards, again, this scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. I looked at that word hunger, and it's really good, and Andrea will learn this to get into the Greek and the Hebrew, because it really opens up a real wonderful place of research. But as I looked at the word hunger, it's to be famished, to crave, to have an absolute total hunger. And it's just this crazy place to be, that you can't have anything else, but you just hunger for this. It also means to long for something which is necessary for your sustenance, to be able to live. And so when we hunger and thirst after the Spirit of God, it helps us to live, help us to cope for that day that we're living and for the battles that we face. And as you think about all that, even when you go into the New Testament, it may refer to a hunger for something of the world. And as Jesus looked at the multitudes, the 5,000, he wanted to feed them. He met their need with something that was given to their nourishment of their bodies. But that hunger is also for a spiritual need. And I believe that you and I need spiritual hunger today. We look after our bodies too much. We go to restaurants and we do all these things, say, oh yeah, our body's satisfied, but we need the Spirit satisfied. We need to fill the Spirit. Amen? And that's why Jesus, every one of these scriptures, he starts off with blessed. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst. You know, think about this, but could it be that those who are spiritually hungry find all their actions are motivated by that hunger? Could that be true? I mean, let me say that again. Think about it. But could it be that those who are spiritually hungry find that all their actions are motivated by that hunger? Now, Jesus said he himself is the bread of life that came down from heaven. This is spiritual. He's not talking about, you know, run out to the corner store and get a loaf of bread. He said, I came down from heaven. This is spiritual. If you want something spiritual, I'm the bread of life. That's what he said. He said in John chapter 6, verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. That's what he said. That's what you need. That's what you should be craving after. That's what you should be hungering after, is that which endures to everlasting life. Then he said in John chapter 6, verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So this is really the only true life that you never could ever find, which is found the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go to John chapter 4, verse 32, and he said to the disciples, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is spiritual that Jesus is talking about, spiritually. And that's the kind of life, the food that you and I in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should desire. Amen? Are you hungry for that today? Then also there's the word thirst. It means to thirst for, to thirsty. And there's all kinds of thirst in the Word of God. The first kind of thirst is an actual physical thirst. But you'll find that the words in the New Testament have two other kinds of thirst, which really get to the place in a figurative sense. And John spoke of the thirst for the water of life. Remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And he said, you know, I'll give you living water. And so it's something that she desired. Well, can you give me this living water? Then you go over to John chapter 7. And John said, the rivers of living water shall flow out of your innermost being. It was a spiritual thing that John was talking about. And I really believe that when you get to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, here we have it. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is not something talking about McDonald's or Burger King or anything else. This is talking about you and your spiritual life in Jesus Christ. You see, it can't be said any better than this. A hungry Christian is a growing Christian. And a growing Christian is a hungry Christian. How's that? A hungry Christian is a growing Christian, and a growing Christian is a hungry Christian. You've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible promotes the blessings for those who move deeper into God. And the Word of God tells us, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Get close to Him. He'll get close to you. So it's a reflection on what we have in God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Are you hungering and thirsty today for more of God? Next slide, please. The thing that you have to wonder about ourselves sometimes is you ever thought, why aren't I more hungry than I am? Why am I not more thirsty than what I should be for the spiritual things? If you ever find yourself, they call it in baseball and football, that when people get into a slump, you know, when the batter can no longer hit the home run or can't get to first base, and their batting average goes down, and they say, well, they're in a slump. They'll get over it. Well, sometimes you and I get into a spiritual slump, and I wonder that what happened to our hunger and thirst? You know, I look at it myself, and I look at others. Why is it that people do not hunger after God? I mean, looking at the world as well, why don't they hunger after God? Why is our society today not seeking more of God? Why are they not coming to churches? I mean, as on my way to church, I see people doing all kinds of things. They're out cutting the grass. They're out washing their cars. They're out jogging down the road. They're doing all kinds of things. They're going after the yard sales. They're doing everything else. I mean, you've got 6 days to do all these things that you need to do. And Betty and I, we love to exercise, but Sunday, it's our day of church. Come on, we need to get to the house of God. We've got enough days, 6 days. I hated the back in the 80s when they brought in Sunday shopping. I wrote an ad in the paper in Morrisburg that people thought the church was just trying to get people to stop shopping on Sundays because, oh, you're going to lose attendance in your church. That's why. I said, no. And I wrote an article in the paper of why they shouldn't have Sunday shopping. I said, you know, to have your one store open on Sunday, that means you need somebody to work in that store. Now, these days, how many know there's a lot of single moms? Okay, so if that single mom has to come in and work on Sunday, excuse me, then that means she needs daycare. So if that single mom is working in that store, she needs daycare. That means daycare now has to operate on Sunday. And if that store is open, that means a truck needs to operate to bring supplies to that store. And that means that somebody else is going to be doing something else for that store. The manager needs to be aware of any problems for that store. Everything starts to blossom. And I said, wouldn't it be good? And I said this in the newspaper ad, wouldn't it be good to have a day where we all have off, where we can get together with the family and have a meal together, and maybe you don't go to church, maybe you want to go out golfing or something like that, but wouldn't it be nice to have a day where you just know when you call somebody up that they're not working either, that you just call somebody? Wouldn't that be good to have a day like that again where we have off? But of course, me being a pastor, I'm thinking that, you know, when we have this day off, house of God is very important, amen, because we hunger and thirst for those things. So I often ask myself, why do people not hunger for God? Why is it that people stay away from God? And I started going through all these things, and then I started thinking about these words, hunger and thirst. Maybe they never, ever felt any emptiness. I don't know about you, before I got saved, I had this emptiness. You know, I just knew it. Something's going on in this life. You know, something's lacking. Something is needed in this life. Oh, yeah, things are going on. I've got a car. I got this. And, you know, everything else is going. But I didn't realize that I didn't have this hunger. You know, it's impossible because many, many people in our world are so filled with other things that are captivating the attention and the, even themselves. That, you know, ever met somebody who is into themselves? You know, they just into myself, me, myself, and I. Like, we go everywhere, me, myself, and I, all three of us. You know, they just talk about that all day long. They are full of their own self, and they're full of their own righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's His righteousness, not our righteousness. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They weren't hungry enough. The church of Laodicea had a full stomach, but not of God's righteousness. And that's why the word came down to those seven churches. This is what they needed in their houses. And it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, to that church of Laodicea, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Have need of nothing. What a place for a church to get where I have need of nothing. I don't need God. I don't need you people. I don't need anything. I've got me, myself, and I. Just have nothing. What a state to be in. I have need of nothing. Jesus says to the church, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a pronouncement to that church of Laodicea. They were so lost in themselves that spiritually the decline was on. That they were poor, miserable, wretched, blind, and naked. When people are filled with pride and whatever comes along with it, it will definitely restrict or hinder what goes on in their life. You know, I was thinking that, I don't know if you've ever had the occasion, I like getting invited out. I like going out for meals. I always count it a privilege, you know, and blessing. I like being a porch people at times, and that's kind of fun. And being invited to somebody's house and having a good meal. And I've found everybody in this church, you're really good cooks. You know, you're a real blessing. And I like going out. But have you ever come to that occasion where somebody will invite you out for lunch And then somebody comes and says, well, would you come over to our place for supper? And so you go to that person's house for lunch, and they've got a meal like set. You know, and you're thinking, I've got another 4 hours, 5 hours, and there's another meal coming. Have you ever been there? You know, where, you know, I better just eat a little bit. And they look at you, oh, pastor, you know, have some more of this, have some more of that. You know, oh, I made your favorite cake. You know, oh, okay. So you said, and you know, another 4 or 5 hours. And when you leave there another hour or two, then you know you've got another place to go, another 4 hours. I look at Betty, are you hungry? No, I'm not. I'm not even close. And then you get there and you kind of nibble on your food. And you it's not the way sometimes people are. Perhaps some, they're so filled with the first meal, the first world, the first thing that happens in life. You remember the unsaved days? You got so filled with those things, so filled with that, that you couldn't realize there's another meal that's far better that's waiting for you down the road. And we need to get to that place because Jesus has got something far better waiting for us down the road, that we need to get ready for that meal and stop filling our stomachs with the things of this world. Amen? See, some don't hunger after righteousness because they have what meets the need of their life. You know, I was looking at that story the other day with, remember Elisha, S-H-A, and when he went to the woman with two sons, and it says all the creditors were moving in, and she just had this one jar of oil, and he walks in and says, you know, make me a meal, and she says, well, I just have enough for me and my sons. We're going to eat this and die. Remember the story? And you know, what a need to have. And I looked at that, and that was really neat. I mean, thank God for the inspiration of Elisha to go to that place. But then I saw the story. What if the jar was full? What if she had lots of jars, and this guy comes knocking at the door and says, God wants to move into your family. Oh, go away. I've got everything I need. My jars are all filled. My creditors are all paid. Everything's looked after. I mean, what a place to be. Why do you have a need for God? You know, hard society around us who know not their need. The jar is full, or so they think, and they just move on in life every day. They think everything's hunky-dory. Everybody know what the hunky-dory means, right? Moving good. Amen. Maybe I should do a deep theological thing on hunky-dory. You know, I love talking to people, and it doesn't take long before they start, oh, I wish I had. They start getting into their wish list. Have you ever heard that? You know, I wish I had more money. We were talking to our son last night, and he FaceTimed me. Everybody know what FaceTime is, or do I have to give you a little bit more understanding of that? FaceTime is talking over tablets where your face comes up. Good answer, I guess. Where your face comes up and you're talking to each other, looking face, and it's the time you're talking together. So FaceTime. Huh, there we go. Anyway, they were sitting out in the backyard, he and his wife and the kids, the grandchildren. They're all playing around. They're all going, happy birthday, Grandpa. Oh, you know, they see them all, and that's wonderful to see that. And when we were down there in the summer, they've got this weird-looking tree that is out in the yard, and I don't know what kind of tree it is, but it drops sap, and it drops, like, white fur, and it drops needles, and it drops other things, and I parked my car underneath it. And when I was there, and Jeremy said to me, oh, Dad, you shouldn't have parked there. I went out there, and the hood was all covered and gooey and everything else. And I said to him, do you know where there's one of those car washes? So he sent me down to the car wash. And so I went down to the car wash. When I got to the car wash, were you with me that day? The hose was stuck. You know, when you put your money in, calls for $4, and you... I wasted 2 minutes trying to get that thing out of the wall, but then I took the other 2 minutes and I just blasted that hood. I don't know if there's still remnants on my car from that thing. But anyway, while I was talking to Jeremy last night, oh, I wish I could get enough money to chop that tree down. And you know, he talked in the summer, it's going to cost somewhere around $2,000 to chop this. I mean, it's a humongous tree. And it's going to the neighbor's cars as well. And he said, I'll give you $1,000 towards it. And I said, Jeremy, hey, that's a pretty good deal, cutting the thing down. Maybe he's waiting for another neighbor to come in. I don't know. But I said, is your tree? No, I wish it would get it. You know, he started going on his wish list about having this tree down. But I mean, you start talking about, I wish I had more money. I wish I could win the lottery. I wish this would happen. I wish my health was better. I wish my marriage was better. I wish things were better. They never get around to saying, I need more righteousness in God. I hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, I used to like that song we used to sing. He brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. He brought me. Remember that song? And if you old timers would remember that. And I'm so glad that he brought me to his banqueting table. You know, because I had a need, and he brought me there, and he filled me. Amen. I don't know. I didn't know back then that I needed a banqueting table. But I'm sure glad that God brought me to his banqueting table and filled me with his love. Hallelujah. You know, I think the world is also asleep because some sleep instead of having spiritual hunger. They won't tell you they're asleep, but you just listen to the words and you can tell there's a lot of people that are asleep. First words about coming to church, church is a little boring. They're asleep. Do you read the word of God? I don't know. They're asleep. Do you pray at all? Well, you know, it's good for another 40 winks, I guess. They're asleep. Some say, you know, I heard a preacher on TV and he preached and all they did was ask for money. They're asleep. They can't hear. And when they read the Bible, they say, well, all I do is get confused and it makes me sleepy. And they go through all these things. You see, our world has a sin problem and it's a sin problem of drowsiness. Their eyes are closed. They can't see physically or spiritually in that sense. They can't see the righteousness that God has to offer them because some read the Bible just to make them sleep. Some go to prayer meetings just to get to sleep. I don't know what it is. Not on Friday nights though, Louise, so I just wanted to put that in there and make sure that you knew. You know, even Jesus, he walked in that Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he took these three guys with him, Peter, James, and John. You guys, you know, I can count on you to pray for with me. I can count on you in this very crucial hour to come and pray with me. And Jesus goes off a little further and starts praying, and he comes back, and what do you find with these three guys? They're all asleep. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And Jesus is saying to the church, come on, church, can you not tarry with me 1 hour? Can you not do this? Can you not feel some inspiration? Can you not get the expectation level up? Can you not go in with that anticipation level anymore? Come on, church, stop sleeping. Sleep does us no good. The word tells us to wake up, be sober, be vigilant. That's what it says in 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But we are awake. You're awake, right? If the person beside you is showing any tendencies to sleep, you know what to do. Okay? Anybody close to you, you have my permission. Don't harm them, but make sure they're awake. Hallelujah. You know, when you talk to people, you get all kinds of mixed reactions. I believe that when you give some people the food of Jesus, they refuse their food. I don't know why it is. You're offering them something beautiful, something wonderful. You're giving them the Word of God, and they refuse. I don't need that. I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. They refuse the food. It reminded me when our kids were small. Maybe you can relate to this if you're a parent or grandparent or whatever. You know, have you ever sat that child in the high chair and you bring the food over there? They won't open their mouth. How many parents pinch the nose? Come on, you know. They'll open. Or we used to do, you know, here's the plane. It's coming around. You're the hangar. Open the hangar up and the plane comes in. You know, everything we tried to do to get the kids to eat their food, my goodness. And then when they got a little older, you know, you put all this food down in front of them. What's that? Looks like a tree. Cauliflower. Doesn't sound good either, Dad. I can remember Josh, you know, I used to say to him, you know, Josh, you know, there's millions of kids starving in the world and you've got a plate full of food. Have you ever said that to your kids? You know, and the world is starving and you are blessed here. He said, Dad, maybe you could send it to them. Oh, kids, they come up with the one-liners, you know. When I was at Bible college, I used my kids in all these kinds of illustrations, and the professor doubted where I got. He thought I got these from a book. I said, you need to come to my house. I've got tons of illustrations. I can remember one time in Peterborough, we were down at Lansdowne in the parking lot, and there was a massive cars all over the place, and I went off this one place. I hit a bump and everything else, and Josh is sitting in the back seat of the car and said, Dad, what are you doing? And of course, you're busy trying to get out of the parking lot and everything else. So I said, we're going crazy. Just relax. And for a minute there, the kids, how they think, looked up and said, no, Dad, you're going crazy. You've got your foot on the gas pedal. I put that in one of my illustrations for Bible college. And they thought, you must have got that from a book. I said, no, my son, please come to my house. You'll find all these illustrations are crazy. But I look at the world and they're just like little children. They refuse the food. We've got the fruit of life, the bread of heaven, the message of life and everything else, and they refuse it out there in the world. I can't understand it. They turn down the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like our kids used to have a favorite word for the food they didn't like. They said, yuck. And that's what the world is saying to the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yuck. We don't want to go. Yuck, yuck. And they just kind of go all their ways, all this world. Would to God there would be a hunger and a thirst again in our society for the things of God and the worship of God and the house of God and the things of God that you and I count so much of a blessing to us in our life. Amen? Some look at the trimmings instead of the food. You know, when we get to Christmas meals or Thanksgiving meals, and I don't know about you, but do you have the china that you use only certain times in your house that... We use that, we bring that out, and those nice plates that you can't put in the microwave because it's got gold trim on the outside of it and all that, and you bring out the turkey at Christmas and all the trimmings, cranberries are sitting there, and I always stand there, and the kids used to get mad at me and say, oh, we need to take a picture of this. It's so beautiful. Look at that. And, Dad, we got food sitting in front of us. Come on. We need to take a picture of this. Like, I think the world gets all caught up in all the trimmings, too, and I think it's interesting how they get caught up. I mean, people, they could drive by this church. They could see the lights and all that and say, oh, it's nice to have a church in town. They look at the trimmings, but they don't come in to digest and eat those things. They look at our facilities, and they say, well, that's a nice place. That, you know, should I ever want to go to church, that'd be a nice place to go. They look at the trimmings. Some could look at the service. They could come in and say, well, that was good music this morning. And they look at the trimmings. They don't look at what's going on in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some could look at the service and say, that was a pretty good sermon. I like that pastor. He's a good-looking guy. He's pretty young, too. He must be only 39 years old. Hallelujah. You know, I used to enjoy my dad. My dad was funny. Yeah, he came to basically every church that I pastored at, and I always hoped and prayed that somehow in all the messages that I preached, that when my parents got to the church, I preached salvation like I was, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, and my dad would listen to it, and a big smile on his face and all that, and I always prayed that something happened to him before he passed away. But my dad would come up to me at the end of the service and said, Russell, wow, that was a good show. I said, Dad, this is not a show. You know, and he missed it. You know, he was looking at all the trimmings. He was looking at the music and thought I did a good job. He was proud of his son, I guess, preaching at the pulpit and all these things. But I said, Dad, it's not a show. It's Jesus. Jesus wants to get into your heart and your life. I can remember many times I wept before my dad, and I just pray that he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I pray that every time we meet, that there's something so deeply spiritual here. That people don't come in and look at the stuff that goes on. But there's something spiritual that's happening in this place. that they can't walk out the same way they come in. You know, I always feel that, you know, when we come to church, we should never walk out the same way we come in. And sometimes people walk in and they're on top of the mountain. Well, I pray when you walk out of this place, you're on a higher mountain. There's a lot of high mountains in this world, but there's one that's taller than the other one. I pray if you come in this morning and you're so blessed and you're walking on a mountain, I pray for a bigger mountain for you when you walk out, that you're higher than you were when you came in. Praise God. That's what we need to be. Some love to come into church and into religion, and all they do is dispute over all the things. Have you ever heard all the arguments and the stuff that people dispute over? You know, I love questions. I love when people ask questions, but sometimes you can tell that you're being set up. You know, people come, so what do you think about, and then they say a name. You're being set up. They start setting you up for things. You know, I don't like being set up. I love questions, and people come and say, Pastor, what is there a deeper meaning on this theologically? And I love to get into theological discussions and all that. But I tell you, people just get into all kinds of stuff that's not right. You know, 1 Timothy says, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions. That's all disputes do. That's all arguments do, is cause rifts in the church. I can remember when we went to a church where we pastored, and there was a bunch of people there that they came and said, oh, Pastor, this is your first month in the church. We've got to have you over after church on Sunday night. That was when we had Sunday night services. So we went over after Sunday night, and, you know, I felt, hey, the new pastor's in. I'm being invited to a home. It's kind of nice to get in there. And so we sat down, and you remember the questions started flowing that came. Pastor, what do you think if somebody walks on the platform and doesn't have a tie on? They don't have a tie on. That's what I think about it. Pastor, should somebody be up here and playing any instrument on the platform and they don't have membership? Good question. I'll give you another year and I'll think about it. Pastor, do you think anybody should teach Sunday school who's not baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I'd like to have them baptized in the Holy Spirit. But if we got somebody saved, they got all the right equipment to start. Maybe while the teacher's in there teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe they'll get filled. I've seen things before. Louise, you met Warren up at camp. Warren was a smoker. You know, I prayed over him. And I said, God, he's going to be a Sunday school teacher. And he smoked. He used to throw his cigarettes out the window. I think I shared this with you before. But Louise met him. I mean, now he's a pastor. He gave up cigarettes, but he was a smoker while he was teaching Sunday school. You know, and he didn't feel good about it, but the Holy Spirit, thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted. I mean, he would drive into church, throw the cigarettes out, then he'd leave church after the service and go out and buy some more cigarettes. He was in this real drama every week going back and forth until the Lord got a hold of him and he threw those cigarettes out, and he still doesn't smoke. He's a spiritual man, and he's filled the Holy Spirit, and he's a pastor up near the Bancroft area. And I thank God that I didn't say, wow, you can't teach Sunday school because you smoke. I always say, God, what do you want? Amen. Maybe there's somebody here that just needs a little bit of push. Maybe they got a little bit of baggage with them. I don't know what it is, but maybe they just need a little bit of push. And maybe that little push will get them over the edge to get a little deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are we to know what Holy Spirit is doing in our church at any one time? Amen? So when you come up and ask me questions about, Pastor, you think you should do this? You think you should do that? Think you should do that? I don't know. This is a church of spirituality, and I just give it to Jesus, and I wait for him to lead us and take us into that place where he wants to put us in our lives. Amen? Maybe he's trying to shape us up and strengthen us and do something else in our life. I don't know. I just give it all to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I better get going here. I've still got another half sermon to go. Maybe I should do it next time. You hungry? Are you thirsty? I'm having fun. Let me give you some quick signs in conclusion today of checking yourself to see if you've got spiritual hunger. Could I do that? You see, I believe that, number one, hunger is a painful thing. Remember back in Genesis, Jacob and Esau? Esau came in, he was like, hungry, give me some food. And Jacob walks up and says, yeah, I'll give you some food, but you got to give me your birthright. Just give me, who cares about a birthright? Just give me the food. What a place to get. I mean, hunger makes you do things that are extravagant and off the wall. You know, it's a painful thing. It says in Psalm 107, verse 5, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. If a person was feeling that much pain without righteousness and ready to faint away without it like Esau was, then there would be such a drive to get into the place of righteousness and his grace and his mercy. We need to have a painful hunger. Hungering is painful. It's a thing where you've got to get to, yeah, I just need more of Jesus. Need more of God. I got to get into the Word of God. It's a painful thing that you just can't do without. Number one, it's a painful thing. Number two, hunger is satisfied with nothing but food. I was getting onto this. I was thinking of, anybody ever heard of Tim Hawkins? Comedian, Christian comedian. He does weird stuff. Like if you've ever seen his DVDs, they're really weird. Like last year I watched one. You've ever heard that Christmas carol, Do You Hear What I Hear? And he gets down the part, a child shivers in the night, let us give him silver and gold. Like Tim Hawkins says, the kid's cold and he's hungry. Give him silver and gold. He needs a bowl of soup. He needs a blanket. Give him what he needs. Anyway, I started thinking with that. I mean, if somebody around us is asking for food, say, well, it's down that way, or I think there's a place over, you know, we always give directions really good, don't we? But we don't give the food. If somebody is hungry, let's give them the food. Samson in Judges chapter 15, he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? He was crying out, God, here I am. Answer my prayer. Give me food. So a person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness says, you know, give me more of Jesus Christ or I'm going to die. Third thing, hunger wrestles with difficulties that make an adventure for food. Jacob wrestled with that angel all night. He said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You bless me. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul everything bitter is sweet. We cannot miss the focus on the desire of blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because Jesus said, you will be filled. So what are we hungry for? What are we hungry for? You know, I want to be filled. I don't want to walk around like an empty human being. Something empty. Because if I'm empty, I'll fill it with something. Human nature says I need something. I need to fill it. And when a human nature cries out, it will run for the things of this world. It will want to get filled with the things of the world. But if you're an empty vessel and you want to be filled with more of God, then you'll run to the things of God. You'll be that hungry and thirsty. God, I'm empty. I need to be filled. I need to be filled. I need to be filled. Hallelujah. You know, as I look at these Beatitudes, this may be one of the most important Beatitudes on the list that Jesus teaches here. It could even be the most important. It's at least one of the most important here to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There be with no hunger and no thirst, and God gave me this just before I left the house this morning. If there's no hunger and no thirst in our lives, there'll be no progression. There'll be no tomorrows in that spirituality. You just have came to a place in your spirituality, and if there's no hunger and thirst, that's where you remain. That's where you stay. And so as I thought about this morning, just as I was leaving the house, as we look at this next beatitude, if you go to the next beatitude after this one, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You will never, ever get to that place of being merciful to somebody else if you never hungered and thirsted after righteousness. If you don't have something inside, if you're not filled with righteousness, if you're not filled with the presence of Jesus Christ, how could we ever be merciful? How could we ever treat somebody around us with that mercy if we haven't got it ourselves? Would you stand with me, please, as the worship team comes? So what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? We, in men's fellowship yesterday in the breakfast, we gave those empty questions. I love coming to men's breakfast because, and you filled it out. You know, it's kind of interesting, and we all sat around and said, well, I come for the food. You know, we come for the food. It's nice to get all that good cholesterol and all that stuff. But some people said, I came for the fellowship. I come for the family of God. I come for what we have here spiritually. And it was really nice. So if we were to say to God, you know, I want to be filled today. And if he were to say to you, what do you want to be filled with? What would you say? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with more love. More of a desire. Betty's favorite verse, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what do you want to be filled with? He'll give you the desires of your heart. So all you have to do is say, God, I want to see more of, and say it to him. God, I need more expectation in my life. Lord, let me just feel the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let me be inspired by Holy Spirit. Let me, even in the crowds of in a department store, at a gas station, Lord, even there, could I be inspired? What do you want to be filled with today? I mean, it's an endless gift list, isn't it? When you start asking God, say, God, this is what I need. This is what I lack in my life. This is what I'm short on. This is what I really need to see in my life coming to make me more complete, to be more of what you could use in this life. Because if I don't hunger and thirst, there's no progression. There's no tomorrow. There's no thing going on in my life for all the next weeks. I need to be filled with you more, Lord. So God, would you open us up this morning? Father, I pray over this congregation, Lord, as we come together, as we wait upon you, as we open our spiritual eyes to see and look inside our own lives and examine ourselves, Lord. What is it we need in a spiritual hunger? What is it we need in a spiritual thirst? What is it we're lacking? What is it that we need to bring to our life? But yet when we come to you, Lord God, we know that your list is complete. Whatever it is we're lacking, we know that you can supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. So God, whatever we lack, whatever we're short on, Lord, we know that you can supply, because the rain's going to come down from heaven. You're going to rend the heavens and come down. You're going to bless us today. You're going to show us. You're going to shower us. You're going to bring us to that place where we see our lack, our hunger, and our thirst. God, you're going to fill us, because we hunger and thirst after righteousness, your righteousness. We want to stand righteously before you, right living with you, Lord, knowing you, having you as our Lord and Savior. So show us, Lord. Show us, Lord, today. And as we ask you the question, Lord, and give you the answer, I want to be filled with. And we say to God, this is what I need to be filled with. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, worship team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I need more of you, Lord. Need more of you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm hungry for you, thirsty for you, Lord. Your righteousness. Hallelujah. Shikadabo
shakadabo. I want more of you.
Yes, God.
Living with the rain on the me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life.
Oh, come fill me up. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, I want more of you. Living water rain down on me.
Lord.
Living breath of life, come fill me up.
Hallelujah.
We are hungry.
Are you hungry?
We are hungry.
We are hungry.
We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, Lord Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you.
We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you.
We are thirsty. Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you.
Oh, more of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. It's what I need, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, I want more of you.
More of you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, rain down on me.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
We are hungry.
Oh, we're so hungry, God. We are hungry.
We are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we're hungry for you, God. Thirsty for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know, I was reading in my chronological reading, and there's some things that you don't like to read in the Bible. There's some things that you realize that was life back then. And as I was reading in the Bible, I looked in the Old Testament. When the nation of Israel was taken off into captivity, food was very limited. Famines were happening, and food was very scarce. And you get to this place in the Bible where you read that they were so hungry, they began to eat their children. And as I read that, how could you eat your own child? To get to that place where you would take your child, you were so famished, so hungry, that you would take your child, place them there, boil them in a pot, and eat them. And I thought, wow, what a place, what a hunger. You know, I'd never want to get in front of a hungry person that was that hungry. They would just devour you as they went by. And I was thinking that, you know, Jesus, that's the way the church should be. We're not going to go out and eat our kids, but we're so hungry for more of Jesus. We're so hungry that we would do the extreme. We would go to the extreme levels. We would do anything to get more of Jesus. We would do anything, anything, anything that would get us into a deeper place in Him, to get us deeper, to be filled with more of Jesus, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. Hallelujah. I think that so often in our day and age, and that you look around North America, the church is just kind of going along on cruise control. I think we forgot about the gas pedal where God wants to take us. I think that we forgot that this is what the mission of the church is, the mandate of the church is, that we're supposed to reach out. We're supposed to do something. We're supposed to infiltrate the society out there and let them know that Jesus is alive and He's the best meal that they could ever partake of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for this message today. I thank You, Lord, for the very things that You're captivating us with. Jesus, your teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is so extreme. People question You.
disciples were wondering about you. The Pharisees were trying to trick you and trap you, Lord. This was teaching that was reverberating into the then world back then. It was shaking their very philosophy, their ideas. It was shaking them. It was taking them to the places, is this what God wants of us? And they were just in the place of wondering if this was really Him. But when you listen and you study and you see that the words of Jesus were taking us to that place, that we're going to be so beneficial to us in this spiritual life, that if we would only adhere to these words, if we would only listen to these words, if we would only take these words to our heart and live by them, we would find such a great grace is being poured into us. So God, today, thank you for the words of Jesus, your Son, the bearer of good news, the one who's our teacher, the one who's our mediator, the one who's our savior of this world. Thank you for the words that he taught us back then that we can read even today in 2018. They're so good. I hunger for those words. I hunger for his teaching. I hunger for the Spirit of God leading me closer, Lord. Take us to that place, Lord. And as we go from this place today, Lord, let that hunger increase in us. I pray that some nugget was laid down today for somebody here in this church will just increase their hunger level in their life for you. Jesus, go with us now. We praise you. We just love you so very much, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Hunger and thirst after righteousness in Jesus. Amen. Amen.